The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. This is episode 5 of season 4. I'm Marty Gold. I want to thank you all, of course, for listening. New listeners, welcome. You're going to enjoy what you can find on actionline.ca. That's where you can find all the podcasts, all the previous episodes of the Great Canadian Talk Show. Unique coverage of Manitoba politics, current affairs, public affairs, including the 2023 provincial election, the 2022 city council and mayoral election, and we cover all sorts of beats, including crime courts, public safety. This episode in particular is going to be about anti-Semitism. I'm the only reporter, certainly in Western Canada, that's keeping an eye on these things. Without somebody in Winnipeg telling you what's happening in Winnipeg, because believe me, the mainstream media isn't. You won't have any sense of just how bad it is, how deep the rot is, the intellectual rot, the moral rot, among individuals in positions of influence in academia, in education, and in public institutions here in Winnipeg and in Manitoba. And we're no different than other places across the country. So I'm going to deal with this first. We're no different than other places across the country, except it's a lot quieter here. Shh, still, don't tell anybody. I tell. So I'm going to do this today in this episode, in episode 5. When I go to the wrap-up, in the wrap-up itself, the last part of the program will be about 5 minutes or so, where I'll talk about some of the upcoming episodes, the topics that we're covering, that we're on top of, the follow-ups we're going to be doing. You can, as I said, take a look, actionline.ca. You can see all the latest episodes. And I take pride, I admit it, I take pride in the work that we've churned out, especially over the course of the last couple of months, where so many episodes, whether they're interviews with people like Brian Mays or Newsmaker of the Year, Andrew Marquez of Gem Equities, whether it was previously interviews with victims of crime that we did, a magistrate who got punched out waiting for a bus this summer, or a family where the accused, the guy clearly murdered their father and he died in custody. The media didn't talk with, the mainstream media didn't, the Trudeau-funded media didn't, I did. And so all these different analyses that we provide, the investigations, again, whether it's at City Hall or at the legislature or just around the community, the lack of safety for nurses and patients, frankly, at the St. Boniface emergency. Nobody else covered that. We did. So I'm going to be talking at the end of the program about what's coming up over the course of the next 2 weeks or so. A lot of good topics. I want you to listen to it, so you know what's coming, so you can tell people to tune in, to check out our articles on actionline.ca, and to understand that we're offering something here that's not just unique, not just different. Yeah, I'm a different kind of guy. I get that. Different kind of pundit. But it's necessary because it provides balance. And I'll be talking about the lack of balance in the Winnipeg media over the course of the next few episodes. Some absolutely reprehensible things have been published lately and stated in Winnipeg media. There's a lot of tricks that are being played in terms of how columns, articles, etc. are being written. The manipulation of facts. And when I say facts, I mean just plain out facts. That's all going to be coming up in upcoming episodes. I'll get to that at the back end of the program. This episode is going to focus on anti-Semitism in Winnipeg, and in particular as it relates to our educational institutions. Let's start at the University of Manitoba, which despite being under the leadership of Michael Benarouche, a descendant of Moroccan Jews who emigrated to Winnipeg and were members of Michael himself, Mossad, and his brothers, twin brothers who became rabbis, they went to our synagogue, knew these people growing up. Despite Michael's presence at the helm of the University of Manitoba, it has been assailed by Jewish faculty because of the atmosphere of anti-Semitism that has been tolerated. There was a march, and I covered this in a previous podcast, there was a march on the campus grounds where chants for Intifada were evidently voiced by a so-called pro-Gaza, pro-Palestinian protesters. As it relates to the University of Manitoba, Professor Haskell Greenfield is the coordinator of Jewish studies And he sent a letter to the editor to the Manitoban, the campus newspaper, and I'm going to quote from it and use Haskell's points. I've written about him previously, I believe. I wrote about him in the J.ca. If I didn't write it, I edited his story by him, a column by him. But he has had issues in being sort of sideswiped and trying to fight rearguard action, so to speak, within the faculty association. And you've got a lot of radicalized faculties, no secret, across universities across this country, Concordia, McGill, University of Toronto, the faculties in, as I understand, Western Canada as well. Hey, don't take my word for it. Go back to previous episode number two of this year, where Dr. Teddy Rosenberg, and nobody in the Winnipeg media picked up on this. Teddy Rosenberg, a graduate of the Jewish school system in Winnipeg, quit the University of British Columbia after teaching there for 30 years because of the rampant anti-Semitism, not just on the campus, but in the medical faculty. Haskell Greenfield wrote a letter to the University of Manitoba, and it was on a subject that we not only covered, but in a way that the mainstream media could not and did not, because they don't understand anti-Semitism. And in particular, he addressed the story of Arij Al-Kafagi. That was the head of the Medical Student Association, fourth year, who was suspended by the U of M. And that got Abhi Khan in a bit of trouble and another PC MLA when they wrote a letter of support without understanding what she had posted, which was just vile, anti-Semitic, thoroughly disgusting cartoons and other comments that clearly were beyond the pale. And furthermore, there were also allegations of unprofessional conduct, which, for instance, we've seen in other instances in these universities. There's almost always some kind of harassment of Jews for being Zionists, for supporting Israel, for supporting the concept of statehood, of Jewish statehood, without supporting necessarily Benjamin Netanyahu or any of the Israeli ministers or any of the rest of it. Because this is the excuse that Jew haters have been waiting for, to be honest and frank about it, to show their true selves. So he addressed the suspension of this student, and in particular that a faculty member had come to her defense. Haskell Greenfield wrote in the Manitoban, yet she is only part of a hate-filled atmosphere that has been developing at the University of Manitoba. Have you really heard that in those terms described in the Winnipeg mainstream media? Of course you haven't. As coordinator of the Jewish Judaic Studies program at the University of Manitoba for the last 10 years, I wish to distance myself from the Judaic Studies program. And he mentioned Ben Bader. Ben Bader is, I guess, an instructor in the program who had been quoted in the media as essentially anti-Zionist and pro-Hamas. So to not put much nuance on it. And here's Haskell Greenfield said, listen, that person's from our faculty, and so is another unnamed source for one of these stories. We have nothing to do with them. They never talked with me. They do not represent the views of the majority of Jews in this city, or the majority of the Jews really anywhere. I do not want the Judaic Studies program to be in any way tarred by association with their myopic views of the world, and specifically regarding anti-Semitism. It is incumbent on the University of Manitoba not to tolerate a climate of Jew hatred, which has been on the rise across North America, including here in Winnipeg. When Al-Kafagi, he wrote, graduates from nursing, she will need to treat Jews who are Zionists that believe in the right of Israel to exist as a state within the region with respect and dignity like everyone else. The suspension she's been given hopefully will enable her to reflect on this ethical responsibility, given her chosen career path in the healthcare profession. He goes back to this Ben Bader. Ben Bader is a she who used to be a he, as I understand it. And Bader issued a ridiculous refutation of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, the IHRA, definition of anti-Semitism, which has been accepted by the largest imam association in the world, the Global Imams Council. Greenfield noted, quote, the complete lack of public statements by Bader or the other unnamed faculty member in support of Jewish students who feel targeted by the fact that they believe in the right of Jewish people to self-determination and believe that the chant, quote, from the river to the sea, is a genocidal call for the elimination of the Jewish homeland. And by the way, while it's tolerated by Winnipeg police, there are a number of places, including Germany, Austria, I believe Slovakia, and a couple of others, where chanting that gets you into trouble with the law because it is a call for genocide to Judenrein, the Holy Land. I ask Bader, Herbert Haskell Greenfield, have you spoken to Jewish students about issues of anti-Semitism on campus, including those who are brave enough to wear their kippot, the yarmulkes, and Magen David Star of David jewelry, as well as those who have taken those symbols off in order to try to remain invisible? Are you even aware that Jews are afraid to display any sign of their Jewishness on campus these days? Stop right there. Here's the guy that runs a Judaic studies program who's saying that the University of Manitoba Jewish students are afraid to display any sign of their Jewishness on campus. That's what your tax dollars are subsidizing? The wages of instructors and professors, etc., who promote views, who are intolerant, who don't believe in dialogue or points of view, but who believe in the dogma of the KGB invention of a dispossessed Palestinian race that were driven out in a Nakba when the catastrophe was the loss of the War of Independence in 1948 and not some aggression by Ashkenazis coming from Europe. Anyways, Greenfield asks, have you spoken to Jewish students who have seen inflammatory leaflets posted around campus and asked them how they feel? To the best of my knowledge, he has not found the time to meet Jewish students once in the Hillel Lounge to hear their concerns about being identifiably Jewish on campus or to comfort them. Do University of Manitoba faculty members such as Bader and the other unnamed person in the Free Press article represent the larger Jewish community of Winnipeg? They can say what they want. It's dictated by academic freedom, wrote Haskell Greenfield. But, quote, I maintain the answer is no. Bader and his silent faculty partner represent a far-left element in the Jewish community. Understand this. Because this is what is at issue, is that the media will find these fig leaves and these kinds of individuals politically are oriented very far to the left. And Marxists hate Judaism, even if they're Jews, and they hate Zionism, self-determination for the Jewish people, because they see Jews as white supremacist occupiers and all that other nonsense. They are not representative, wrote Haskell Greenfield, of the mainstream community, which is in fact very Zionist in its political orientation. We are proud to be called Zionists. We follow it up with action. The Jewish community has demonstrated exceptionally strong commitment to and support for Israel. I maintain the University of Manitoba's campus must be a safe place for all, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, and anyone else. Platitudes are not sufficient. Action needs to be undertaken by all to create and maintain the campus as a safe space. I ask each and every one of you, what have you done to create a safe space for all? If nothing, then silence is tacit agreement to persecution. Haskell Greenfield is a professor in the anthropology department at the University of Manitoba, director of the Near Eastern and Biblical Archaeology Lab, and coordinator of Judaic Studies at the U of M. Let's swing over to the University of Winnipeg. This written by Rhonda Spivak of the Winnipeg Jewish Review, and she's all over this issue. The Palestine and genocide teach-in a couple of months ago in a roundtable, where the university was clearly sponsored by the university, by the faculty, and they then tried to backtrack and say it wasn't, even though it was. And as Rhonda says, the advertisement I saw referred to as being put on by the Faculty of Arts. I understood the plain meaning of the words, that this was a U of W event. On November 17th, the U of W president and vice chancellor Todd Mondor and somebody called Dr. Pavlina Radia, the provost and vice president of academic, issued a statement about the event. She links to it and talked about the responsibility of the faculty to engage respectfully so that people can disagree, who disagree can safely engage in respectful debate, and a lot of fancy words. Our university community should foster ethical, respectful engagement. That's not what happened. And Rhonda Spivak goes over the examples. This is on another campus your tax dollars pay for. When questions would come up asking about the trauma, for instance, of the innocent civilians terrorized by Hamas, who's watched slaughter, rape, and murder, how does perpetrating more trauma and terror in the region help the Palestinian movement to put an end to the Zionist project If anything, wouldn't this further divide the region? That was a question somebody asked of the moderator, Dr. Carrie Sinanon, an assistant professor in the English department. Sinanon said, questions that seek to align the speakers with Hamas are racist and will not be entertained. What? Spivak wrote, I ask the president of U of W, Todd Maunder, what kind of answer is that? The person asked a legitimate question and they were dismissed, shut down, demeaned, and belittled by being told their question is racist. This is not a violation of the U of W's policy on academic freedom. Well, the whole thing was a breach of that. Another example, a question came in, what role does Hamas play in the occupation and the suffrage of Palestinian people? I heard Hamas fired rockets at Israel 50 minutes after the ceasefire today. That's when the event was held. I think that was in late November. Is this true? Dr. Sinanon answered, none of our panelists have knowledge of Hamas operations. We're scholars and academics. Well, as Spivak points out, as Rhonda points out, if Dr. Sinanon has no knowledge of Hamas operations, how does she have any knowledge of Israeli operations? She can't say anything about Hamas's role in the conflict, but she can say lots about Israel's role in the conflict. Have you asked the organizers, President Maunder was asked by Rhonda Spivak, why they spliced out one speaker from the event? Oh, a Palestinian woman named Sarah, who said on October 7th, she felt a huge sense of shock because of my Muslim faith, a huge sense of relief, because I know Palestinians will resist. So here's a speaker at the event who on the day of the massacres was calling it resistance. She went on to say the resistance is justified. Could it be she was spliced out because her views align with those of Hamas? Ooh. This person's remarks not included on the YouTube release. Spivak pointed out she did not hear one panelist who said he or she recognized Israel's right to exist as a state in the region. One of the speakers said the end of the occupation in its entirety, their number of goals that cannot be met under a Zionist project. I did not hear one panelist condemn or make any negative remarks about Hamas's actions on October 7th, nor did any panelist say Israeli hostages taken by Hamas ought to be freed. There are panelists who refer to Israel as an apartheid state. I did not hear any panelists say there's been a continuous presence of Jews in the land of Israel for 3,000 years. This is the kind of these are kinds of people, panelists, the kinds of discussions, educating students at the University of Winnipeg, completely one-sided, ahistorical, bordering on a modern version of the protocols of the elders of Zion. There was no panelist, Rhonda Spivak said, who said that Israel was not committing genocide against Palestinians. I did not hear one speaker who advocated for a two-state solution. I did not hear any speaker cast any responsibility for the current conflict on the failure of Palestinian leadership. I did not hear any reference to the 1947 UN partition plan calling for an Arab and Jewish and Arab state accepted by Israel but rejected by the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem and the surrounding Arab states who attacked. No mention of peace plans put forward by Ehud Barak and Ehud Olmert, which would have seen the creation of a Palestinian state. All of the perspectives, it's easy to include, she said, all the perspectives were anti-Zionist and anti-Israel. Near the end of the teach-in, Dr. Carrie Sinanon said, we've seen some comments in the question and answer that these are not multiple perspectives. I want to say very clearly, this is a very racist perspective. That's a teach-in. Spivak asking the U of W president whether those who disagreed with the portrait of Israel as a colonialist, imperialist, apartheid, genocide, committing state were treated with respect and could safely engage in respectful debate as per your November 17th statement. Calling those who disagree with you as coming from a very racist perspective is insulting, demeaning, disrespectful, and a form of bullying, is it not? Has the U of W, she asked, considered where the Human Rights Code applies in this situation? Is the U of W committed to ensuring in practice that guarantees of non-discrimination, non-harassment, and the Human Rights Code are applied in practice with equal vigor to protect Jewish students? Will the U of W put on an officially sponsored forum with at least equal publicity and provide those with different views to respond? But there is more. There are Jewish attendees who were removed from the event. Will you, President Maunder, be investigating whether people were kicked out? This, I guess, was on the Zoom after asking questions. Did they receive messages saying you were removed from this webinar by the host and cannot rejoin? A Jewish person tried to register partway into the program but was disallowed. Why was this? Will the U of W be producing for the public a complete list of all the questions in the chat and the way they were answered by Dr. Sinanon? Were there any questions deleted from the chat? Will there be any consequences for the violation of the academic freedom of Jewish students and or community members who tried to engage in respectful debate? What corrective measures will be taken to ensure this, to ensure that this happens never again. One of the speakers, Gada Sasa, said Zionist voices could not be speakers, as Zionist voices, they are supporting the genocidal project. It's no wonder Jew hatred is increasing in Winnipeg, wrote Rhonda Spivak, even though Jews in Winnipeg do not control Israeli policy in any way. President Mondor, have you so far effectively tolerated a climate of anti-Semitism by allowing the program to proceed in the fashion it did? One of the speakers, and I know he teaches on one of the campuses here, and I'm quite sure which, Fadi Enap, participated in the November 24th Zoom event, and he tweeted in coverage of a rally in October. I hope the ripples of that flag, the Palestinian flag, echoes to bring down every Zionist infrastructure from Winnipeg to Palestine. I asked President Mondor, what did Enap mean? Here's a guy who participated in the panel. By referring to bring down every Zionist infrastructure in Winnipeg, is he talking about bring down the Asper campus where an Israeli flag flies? That's what's going on at U of W. I'm going to mention one other thing as it relates to Winnipeg education. There's a school with a music program. And a couple of the teachers, having taught students in the band the Ukrainian national anthem, I think it was Filipino national anthem, wanted the kids to learn the Israeli national anthem, Hatikva. And there's some person or other involved from a very public organization in the arts that has a lot of Jewish donors, the musical arts, that said, oh no, that would be said that because of the genocide, we shouldn't be doing that. Can you imagine that? Kids shouldn't learn the national anthem of Israel. And that someone from a publicly funded arts, high-profile arts institution pulled someone aside and tried to influence to go against their colleague, another teacher. Eventually, teachers banded together and said, no, we're going to teach the kids Hatikva. You want to know what's going on in education in Winnipeg when it comes to anti-Semitism? There's some examples to think over where your tax dollars are going. Did these align with your values? These align with maintaining the public order in Winnipeg, with maintaining the public peace in Winnipeg? Or does it align with a totally different agenda, with the marginalization of Jews? And believe me, once the Jews get marginalized, so do the Christians. So do the people who believe in Western values. Did you hear any of this reported anywhere else in the Trudeau-funded or government-subsidized media? CBC, Free Press, keep going through the list. CTV, Global. Any of them? Winnipeg has problems. Not hard to figure out, considering the police haven't laid a hate crime charge yet, no matter how many investigations they claim they were doing. I'm going to continue to keep track of these issues, bring you the information you need to know, so you can challenge the education minister, so you can challenge Wab Canoe, so you can challenge school trustees, so you can challenge the presidents of our universities to make sure the Jewish students and faculty and staff and music teachers aren't treated like second-class, third-class citizens, demeaned, spit on, told they support genocide. And now you know why I continue to cover the anti-Semitism beat, because no one else does. And you need to know about this. Back to wrap up the program right after this.
This episode of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast is sponsored by Jamrock Security, protecting your family, your business, and your community. Call 204-880-1564 or go to jamrocksecurity.ca, your trusted security partner.
Trying to be Winnipeg's only alternative media source is hard work.
Now, while the Joss Reimers of the city parrot this nonsense on your godforsaken AM radio choices in this town,
one man has the skill, experience, and passion to deal with pomposity, corruption, and daring to report on what others can't, won't, or have been told not to report on.
This isn't a surprise that our leaders put on a dog and pony show. They put on airs. They play their roles. They have a big head. high opinions of themselves, trying to continue to go along to get along.
The Great Canadian Talk Show with Marty Gold.
I hope you're appreciating the various new bumpers and ad spots and promos that we've produced. There's going to be more on the way as we try to freshen up the sound of the program, keep things up to date. And if you're interested in advertising our sponsoring segments on this the podcast, as well as on actionline.ca, our various articles and columns is that we have been developing. In particular, I'll mention this as it relates to this episode, Dr. Raphael Medoff providing me again a fantastic column about how Australia is taking steps to denazify itself, and Gaza the same thing has to happen in Gaza. And this relates to Winnipeg, because if you start bringing over, as you know, Trudeau thinks a good idea and Wapnu thinks a good idea, thousands of Gazans, well, if 80% of them support Hamas, how's it going to work exactly? When the education materials provided by the United Nations are just the worst kind of Jew hate imaginable, worst kind of tropes and dehumanization of Jews, how's that going to work? So the Raphael Medoff, I'll put a link here in this podcast description. Dr. Raphael Medoff raising good points and talking about the methodology that was used to denazify Germany to, I'm not quite sure what the term is, de-Hirohito-wise. I've never really heard that term. Japan, right? And the kinds of institutional structures in both countries, in both societies that would be dismantled, banned, barred, restricted from political office and other things in order to root out those kinds of vile genocidal ideologies. Again, one of the reasons why I continue to cover this this subject. But that's not the only subject I cover. I got a lot of good reaction to my preview of the Tory leadership process vote, kind of clumsy way of putting it, but I'll have more about the impending conservative leadership race and other material and matters coming from the Manitoba legislature that I'll be bringing forward. There's a couple of things that we covered, even as regards to education and an anti-Semitic incident that happened involving the Jewish high school about a year ago. I'm going to be going back to that as well. Our first episode of this year, episode one of season four, Dr. Joss Reimer, the Pollyanna of downtown Winnipeg. We're going to be doing a follow-up about Joss Reimer in about a week's time. There's going to be a Crime Court's public safety report, of course, and boy, there's been some bizarre crime going on, including a series of pedestrians dying after colliding with vehicles or vehicles colliding with them. It'll be interesting. I'm going to raise the point about how are these counted statistically when a few of these cases, they aren't really pedestrians being mowed down by cars. But there's other factors at play. I'm going to continue to take a look at the Winnipeg media. City Hall as well. As the budget deliberations continue, I am still juggling some arrangements. I do believe I'm going to have a city councilor on within the next 7 days for an interview and a few other things that are working on in terms of, certainly following up on the bike lane project and what's gone on Goulet and other such matters, and this change of the bus system, this concept that we're going to completely change how buses run through Winnipeg neighborhoods, and whether or not city councilors are doing any kind of a job to let people know how this is going to directly affect them so they can speak out about their concerns. And I know that there's people outside of city council that seem to be doing more work than the city councilors are. And that, of course, is obvious because you start letting people know that there's not going to be buses running through the middle of neighborhoods anymore. They're going to have to walk a kilometer in the wintertime to get to a bus. Well, then they're going to hear a lot of complaints, won't they? This whole process where the transit master plan was approved in 3 weeks with no opportunity for public feedback, I'm becoming increasingly disturbed by that situation. And I'm going to be looking into it as well. Going back in a way to education, couple of episodes I'm working on, math is hard for lefties. And this is going to relate in the outset to science math, the mathematics of science and energy production, and how people in Alberta would have frozen to death if it wasn't for Saskatchewan and its non-green, non-renewable energy sources that saved thousands of lives in Western Canada. As we see the folly of the Trudeau government, clear it's some sort of, it's clear it's some sort of scam, one way or the other, this continual pushing of green projects. And increasingly people are looking at which companies are getting these contracts, which investments are being made, who is manufacturing some of these materials that are being recommended in the marketplace as traditional carbon intensive, let's say, materials are being threatened with extinction, so to speak. There's a lot of deep connections. And the Trudeau government up to its eyeballs in this with its support from various Chinese entities during the course of the last election or two cycle. So I'm going to try to look at all these things. Math is hard for lefties. A follow-up on Dr. Joss Reimer, the Tory leadership, the budget process at City Hall. There's some individual stories I want to try to get to telling. I think we're going to move towards probably a weekly City Hall recap and maybe a weekly City Hall recap every second week, bi-weekly, and the alternating weeks do the legislature, maybe school trustees. We'll look at school division sometimes. I want to try to pace this out so that I can keep up the pace and make sure that you get the kind of information, the kind of analysis that you need, that you deserve, and that you're not getting from traditional mainstream sources. I have not yet come across the formal plan. I have not yet developed a formal plan with regards to the next fundraising effort, but clearly I've got to keep paying the rent and being able to do the kind of work that needs to be done out in the field, meeting with people, and to spend the time, the research time to do this. And obviously without government fund, look, I see things out there that are just unbelievable in terms of government-funded media that has resources that just regurgitates the stupidest stories that come down the pike. How many outlets reported, oh, Canadians getting their pollution price rebate check garbage? That's not news. It's a brief. It's two paragraphs. People are getting their checks. Every major newsroom ran a big story about it. That's like a giant commercial for Justin Trudeau. It's nonsense. Now, we reported that the ethics investigation, the code of conduct complaint against Councillor Arlico has been suspended pending the city's appeal. No other media outlet reported it. You'd think that it would be important to tell people what's going on with an ethics complaint about a city councillor. What happens if there's a shuffling of the deck and somebody thinks that it's a good idea to put any councillor, not just John Arlico, any councillor who's facing an ethics complaint on executive policy committee, for instance? You aren't getting a good bang for your buck. And I deliver the best bang for your buck every time I sit at the keyboard, punch out an action line column or report, or file one of these podcasts. City Hall coverage, legislative coverage, coverage of what's going on in our education system. The odd sports story, too. It's not all gloom and doom around here, but it's with your support that I can move forward with this. And so, in the absence of a formal campaign, just a reminder, you can go to actionline.ca, look at the donate page, you'll see the links for the top stories that we've done over the course of the last 120 or so episodes. The proof is in the pudding. And then there's links that you can donate via PayPal or contact me directly and do so through Interact, or contact me directly and I'd be glad to sit down and meet with you and talk about how you can help make sure that I can dedicate full-time hours to what is clearly needed in this market and in this city, an alternative voice. Your voice. And of course, you have any news tips, any comments. I've gotten a number of comments about recent episodes that I will get to upcoming. Over the course of the next 10 days or so, I'm going to try to put out about 5 podcasts, a bit of a pace, going to see what I can do, as well as a couple of Action Line articles. So your comments, your news tips, whether it's about the legislature, City Hall, something that doesn't seem quite right, with whether it's public works or it's, you know, and something else going on around town, crime especially, public safety, let me know, martygoldlive@gmail.com. I'm here for you because you have the power. Be back with more. Online a lot on Twitter? The best radio in Winnipeg is right here. Oh, the Great Canadian Talk Show, back with more in a short period of time. And by the way, you can join us on Facebook, look for the group, follow me on Twitter at TGCTS. Take a minute to send this podcast to 10 people you know that are concerned about the infiltration of anti-Semitism in our education in Manitoba. I ask you to do that. Spread the word, because the more people know what's going on, the more people will stand up and say it's wrong. And that is very important. I stand for what's right. I stand for you, your values. I'll be back with more of the same later this week.
When you support the Great Canadian Talk Show, your donation makes sure that the investigations, the interviews, the fact-finding, the truth-telling can carry on. When you sponsor the Great Canadian Talk Show, you're telling the community that you think their stories matter. Our public affairs coverage continues to make a difference, challenging the slanted media narratives and giving a voice to the community. When you provide funding for the Great Canadian Talk Show, you're supporting old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters. Support TGCTS today.
Thanks for listening to the Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com or follow him on Twitter @tgcts.